So my name is John Snyder. I am an assistant professor at the University of Georgia, a crop physiologist, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about carbon dynamics of the first true leaf in cotton and how that impacts seedling vigor. So just a little bit of background here. We know that there's a number of different ways that individuals express seedling vigor, and there's some disagreement about what the best parameter is to indicate seedling vigor. Just as examples here would be dry weight per plant, fresh weight per plant, plant height, some indication of size. But then there's others in development of roots, which is extremely important and which we don't have a tremendous amount of data on as well. So anyway, all these different parameters can indicate seedling vigor, but one of the things, and of course the topic for today, is that first true leaf initiation. So that first, the development of that first true leaf can impact seedling vigor. There's some preliminary work indicating that seedlings, for example, that whenever those cotyledons emerge, where that first true leaf is visible upon emergence, those tend to be more vigorous. So the idea here is that if that first true leaf develops more rapidly, it transitions from a sink to a source earlier in the season, and of course promotes early season growth. And then a little bit, this is kind of a, I'm moving away from this, but then I'll come back to it here in a second, moving away from the first true leaf. We know that seed characteristics can have a tremendous impact on seedling vigor. In particular, seed size can impact seedling vigor, where if we have larger seed, we have more vigorous growing seedlings. And this is related, I think, to two particular things. One is that we have higher nutrient reserves in the seed that can help drive that early growth before the plant transitions to photosynthetic self-sufficiency, I guess you could say. And the other thing is that larger seed tend to produce larger cotyledons when they come out of the ground, so they're intercepting more solar radiation. So this is just some previous data that's been published on this topic where I looked at seedling vigor, just plant dry weight. I'm not expecting you to read all the axes here. Plant dry weight on the y-axis and then seed size on the x-axis. And in all but one environment, we had strong relationships between seed mass and vigor. And so the question that I wanted to answer was whether seed lot specific variation in seedling vigor could be attributed to carbon dynamics of the first true leaf. All right. Now, when I say seed lot, that's a little bit, I'm not talking about taking a particular cultivar and looking at different seed lots within the same cultivar. The reason I use that and keep it relatively vague is that, yes, cultivar differences can exist, but even within a particular cultivar, there is variation from one seed lot to the next in seed characteristics. So, to address this question, I conducted a study at, it's a research farm near Tifton, Georgia. I had six different cultivars. Now, these cultivars were selected based on differences in seed mass and previous data indicating that we had sufficient variability in seedling vigor. Okay? So we had both of these things. We had preliminary data on all of these cultivars as part of a concurrent study or a preliminary study. And then I conducted to quantify vigor, both plant and I guess you could say crop vigor, even though I won't be discussing the crop portion of it, the calculations for crop growth rate per unit land area. I will be talking mainly about the seedling itself. And so as part of this study, since we know that leaf area expansion can impact, you know, we have a transition from a source to a sink that occurs at some level of leaf expansion. So we measured first true leaf area, whole plant dry weight, and a number of other growth parameters from this data as well. And then this study, as part of this study, it was pretty heavily focused on nighttime carbon dynamics. Okay, there's not a tremendous amount of information on this, and so at these two sample times, 3 and 5 weeks after planting, I measured nighttime respiration rates three times during the night. So three times during a five-hour period at night. Okay, so this generated an average nighttime respiration rate, and from that we can calculate over that five-hour period what the expected change in specific leaf weight. You know, we can calculate what change or drop in specific leaf weight we would expect due to respiration alone, okay? And then from that, if we measure specific leaf weight at the beginning of that period and the end of that period. Any other change in specific leaf weight is due to translocation out of the leaf. So this is a method that's been published previously. And so what we calculated was translocation over the five-hour period, and then what I'm calling translocation efficiency. I don't know that I've seen it reported like that, but anyway, that's what I'm calling it for the time being. Essentially, dry weight translocated out of the leaf divided by dry weight respired by the leaf over that five-hour period. And then as part of this study, we also measured both soluble carbohydrates and starches, again, at the beginning of the night and the end of the night as well. And then, you know, we can't do these studies without doing photosynthesis measurements. As a general rule, if we look at studies in which seedling vigor, we screen for seedling vigor or any other parameter, most of those studies will be focused on photosynthesis, right? And so we measured photosynthesis and midday fluorescence as well so that we could calculate actual quantum yield and photosynthetic electron transport rate. So this was midday measurements. This is typically when you would see these measurements done. And so let's move into the results a little bit here. I want to show you particularly look at percent expansion. So this is percent of the leaf area at 35 days after planting. Now, we don't know if that was the final leaf area or not, but this is percent expansion at 21 days after planting. And the reason I'm showing that is because all of my data that follows will be focused on 21 days after planting, largely because my student essentially screwed up sampling on the second date. I'll just push it off on him. And he's no longer in my lab, so it's irrelevant. I can say what I want, I guess. And So he messed up the second sample date. We still have all the growth parameters, but the really detailed physiological assessments are not there. So you can see we're at anywhere from 39% to about 57% of full expansion, or at least of the expansion level. Now, I don't expect you guys to look at this. This is just to say, yes, I did the research. Yes, I collected the data. Here's the correlation coefficients, and here is a continuation of that exact same table. It's a little overwhelming. But what I want to do is focus on a few key parameters today that I thought were of particular interest. Now, you might say, well, no significant difference here in, you know, between as far as relationships between net photosynthesis and seedling vigor. Well, that's not very interesting, right? So we had no significant difference here. All right, and this is 21 days after planting. Seedling vigor versus dark respiration. So over that nighttime period, no significant difference, no significant difference, no significant difference. So these are typical parameters that are often used to characterize a number of different, you know, to quantify either level of stress or vigor or whatever the case may be, okay? Now, here's the interesting stuff. So if we look at nighttime translocation rate, we have a strong relationship between nighttime translocation rate for that first true leaf and seedling vigor at that particular stage of development, okay? So again, quantifying carbon dynamics at night seems to be, very highly correlated. Now, could this be associated with cumulative photosynthesis during the previous day? Absolutely, because that would impact, at least you would expect it to impact translocation the following night. Okay, so when we do an instantaneous midday measurement of photosynthesis, it's not giving us the complete story here, right? All right, seedling vigor and translocation efficiency. So again, the relationship between translocation efficiency and seedling vigor is actually a little stronger than the previous graph, but they're both, again, very highly related. I guess you would say there's a strong relationship between these two parameters. And so the other thing is total soluble carbohydrate content. I was anticipating a different relationship here than what I saw. Essentially saw an inverse relationship between soluble carbohydrate content and seedling vigor. But another thing that's worth noting is these values are extremely low as well. These are very low carbohydrate contents. These leaves are not, as I say, they're not fully expanded at this point either. And so if we move on, if we look at leaf area, whole plant, this is whole plant leaf area versus translocation rate, again, very strong relationship there. And then finally, if we look at leaf area versus total soluble carbohydrate content, you can see the same inverse relationship. Now, whether this is because carbohydrate content as an average during the night is kept low because that carbohydrate is exported out of the leaf. I really don't know. We repeated this study again this season to see if we see the exact same trend. All right. So with that, what's some of the take home here? And that is that, to me, we focus a lot on these photosynthesis measurements, and we still need that information. But obviously, the nighttime carbon dynamics seems to have a pretty substantial impact on the vigor of those seedlings. The other thing is that if we look at this, that's a translocation rate per unit area. What if we account for that leaf area as well, right? For as a total amount of carbon translocated out of that leaf, then leaf area would have to factor into this as well, for that first true leaf. So with that, answer any questions you may have. I think I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, so I guess we're okay. Yeah. Yes?
Okay. It is very interesting. It's not related to the night. You think that also is related to the night temperature and flagging date, all this kind of thing you can think about?
Yeah, I have no doubt that it is related to that, because for these same cultivars, there's a separate study that we're conducting, and it's an overly large study, planting depth, rates, dates, all these things. And so once we get into some of the warmer sample dates, you see some of these differences go away. So this was earlier, this was planted earlier in the season, cool, typical early season growing conditions. I didn't attempt to alter planting date in this situation, which of course would have generated some differences between these as well.
Another question.
Somebody else was wanting to ask a question here. Yeah.
So it's a nice direction that you're following. You've done extensive work on rice and wheat, and we see data taken during the vegetative stage that are strong feedback between natural respiration and the day photosynthesis. We don't see it, so it's not surprised that you didn't see any significant effect in the photosynthesis and the respiration. We see even on the field conditions we have done, this is pretty much the same. But come flowering and after that, you start to see this impact becoming really strong.
Yes.
The photosynthesis breaks down, your mitochondria is constant to keep everything going.
Yeah.
So I think if you want, my suggestion would be to try and see what happens after you are at the later stage during the flowering and post.
Sure. And we've seen this. And it depends. You're experiencing different stressors at that particular period of time. So if you're looking at fully expanded leaves, you will see different responses than you would in leaves that are still expanding and at different levels, at different points in that transition from a sink to a source, right?
Have you measured the starch content of your leaf?
Sure. That was also, if you noticed, and I didn't talk about that, it was part of the massive table, but we also measured starch content. It was extremely low, and we didn't see any major relationships there. But again, we're not dealing with fully expanded leaves here either. Okay, these are fairly early in development. So whether it's low because of that or it's a graduate student error, we would like to repeat this again this year to verify that. All right, so with that, I believe I'm out of time, and you have to prepare for the business meeting as well, which will be in here in like 5 minutes. But I'll be happy to talk with anybody after this as well. Thank you.